You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, welcome everybody. Glad to have you with us today. And we're beginning a new series today. We're going to be going through a passage of scripture called the Songs of Ascent. And I'm going to be explaining a little bit about that in a minute. Have you ever been so disgusted by the state of things that you actually feel sick? Well, I have, more than I would like recently. We've just been through a very difficult 15 months of a pandemic. I would have thought 15 months ago that the hardest part of 2020 and 2021 would be COVID, that would just be the illnesses that people are going through. And certainly a lot of people have been negatively affected. We're going to be praying for some people today who have COVID, and I don't want to minimize that. But I've been surprised at a number of other things that have been really difficult in the past 15 months. The brokenness of this world has become so evident. And I'm talking about things like blatant racism, political division, conspiracy theories, and more. I was devastated to read about the residential school discovery. And it just seems like just when you think that the news couldn't get any worse, there's more news. It just seems to be endless. It seems to go on and on. I can't remember a time when it's felt so easy to become disillusioned about humanity and the state of this world. The more I read the news, the more I go on social media, the more reason I find to be discouraged about humanity. And some of you are thinking, what is wrong with Daryl? Like, did he eat the wrong breakfast today? Like, what's going on? Well, I actually think, and this is going to be one of my arguments today, that scripture points us in this direction. I want to argue that it's actually good in one sense that we feel this way. And today, as I mentioned, we're beginning a new series called Homesick. And here's the big idea of this series. We need songs that help bring us home, especially because we clearly are not at home in this world. And so these psalms are going to help bring us home. They're going to help us go through this world, a world of a lot of ups and downs, a lot of downs. It's going to help us as we go through this broken world and as we find our way home. So let me tell you a little bit about these psalms. Psalms 120 to 134 are called the Songs of Ascent. And there's a lot of theories about these psalms. What's clear about them is that they are pilgrim songs. And they were probably used by those who went to Jerusalem for the three festivals that took place every year: Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And so these songs are very meaningful. Joseph and Mary would have used these songs as they traveled to Jerusalem. Jesus would have sung them as he traveled to Jerusalem with his disciples. I think we're meant to picture these people traveling to worship at these three festivals. And as they're going, they're leaving their everyday life and they're making their way to recognize the importance of God and to celebrate his goodness in their lives. And these songs are songs that would prepare them and guide them on their way as they approach to worship God. And so as we read these songs, we should be thinking about going on a journey. And the journey is one that we're all on. It's a journey to worship God. It's a journey to come closer to God. But it's a journey full of obstacles and trials. It isn't going to be an easy journey. And so today we're starting this journey. And as we read Psalm 120, we realize that we are far from home. Psalm 120, and we're going to look at it again, it's not really full of a lot of good things. Here's the gist of what this psalm teaches us. We start our journey far from home. And so Psalm 120 is kind of a strange song to start the Songs of Ascent. It doesn't mention Jerusalem or the festivals at all. It's actually not a very cheerful psalm. On the contrary, it begins where we are. It starts with our address, where we live. Derek Kidner says this, "It appropriately begins the series in a distant land so that we join the pilgrims as they set out for the journey, which in broad outline will bring us to Jerusalem." This is where we are. We are in a distant land. We are far from home. And that explains a lot of the difficulty that we find in this world. What do you expect to find when you're in a distant land, far from home? Well, you would expect to find homesickness and trouble, which is just what we're experiencing here. I want you to notice, according to the psalmist, the two things that are wrong with this world. And so in verses 1-4, the psalmist says the world is full of lies. That's the first problem that the psalmist sees in this world. This world is full of lies. And so verses 1-4, he says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue." See, here's a problem that he identifies, lying lips and a deceitful tongue. That doesn't sound that bad, unless you've been the victim of a lying tongue and deceitful lips. A lie can do a lot of damage. We're going to see later that their agenda is actually to destroy him through their lies. And in verses 3-4, he actually speaks to the liars and the deceivers. And so verses 1-2, he's talking to God about them. And then verses 3-4, he actually turns to the liars and deceivers, and he talks to them directly. And here's what he says to them. He basically says, "What shall be given to you? What more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior of sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree." And what he's saying here is, their actions will result in God's judgment. They will be destroyed with far more potent shafts than the lies that they've told. God's arrows of truth and God's coals of judgment. God will judge those who are telling lies. And so verses 1-4 help locate us in this world. And here's what we learn from verses 1-4, from where the psalmist begins. We live in a world full of lies. We live in a world that is not telling us the truth, where people try to destroy other lives through blatant falsehood. That's where we live. It's really been my privilege to pastor Liberty Grace Church, and honestly, I count it a huge privilege. One of the hard things is seeing sometimes when people are going through difficulty as a result of lies that are being told about them. I know that some of you have been slandered. Lies have been told about you, and it's cost you. It's cost you friends. Maybe even lies have been told about you in court, and it might have cost you your livelihood or your children. Lies can cost you your reputation. Lies can keep you awake at night. Lies can do great damage and cause great harm. Whoever said that sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me, really didn't know what they were talking about. Lies can do great damage. Lies can destroy. And some of you know what that's like. So some of you know what David's praying. Lord, deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. You know, I want to go even beyond that and expand a little bit. We live in a world full of lies. There are lies told about us, and there are also lies told to us. And both are equally dangerous. In fact, I would even suggest that the lies told to us possibly are even more dangerous. Lies have always been Satan's great weapon against us. I was reading this week, Eugene Peterson has written a memorable book on the Songs of Ascent called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And reflecting on Psalm 120, he says this, "We have been told the lie ever since that we can remember, human beings are basically nice and good. Everyone is born equal and innocent and self-sufficient. The world is a pleasant, harmless place. We're born free. If we're in chains now, it's somebody else's fault, and we can correct it with just a little more intelligence or effort or time. It's a lie. We're told a lie from the day that we're born. Every time you turn on television, every time you open the newspaper, you are fed a pack of lies. Not everything is a lie, but we are fed lies on a daily basis. lies about our potential, lies about our identity, lies about how basically we're good people. We just need to believe in ourselves. And he goes on, he says, Christian consciousness begins in the painful realization that what we had assumed was the truth is in fact a lie. I want to be clear. I said it's a privilege to pastor the church. I want you to know I really love this church. It is the greatest privilege of my life, other than being, you know, married to Shar and having my kids. It is the greatest privilege of my life to be your pastor. But I want to be clear. The world tells us lies every single day about who we are, about what we should believe, about how we should act. We live in a world full of lies, and it should bother us. That's why it's good that in verse 2, the psalmist prays that God would deliver him from lies. And again, Eugene Peterson expands on David's prayer and really applies it to today. Rescue me from the lies of advertisers who claim to know what I need and what I desire. They're telling us lies. Rescue me from the lies of entertainers who promise a cheap way to joy, from the lies of politicians who pretend to instruct me in power and morality, from the lies of psychologists who offer to shape my behavior and my morals so that I will live long, happily, and successfully, from the lies of religionists who heal the wounds of the people lightly, from the lips of moralists who pretend to promote me to the office of captain of my fate, from the lies of pastors who leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men. Rescue me from the person who tells me of life and omits Christ, who is wise in the ways of the world and ignores the movements of the Spirit. I should have warned you at the start, this isn't really a comfortable sermon. The psalmist begins and he just says, man, we live in a world full of lies. And I've listed some of them, you know, lies told against us and lies told to us every day that we're tempted to believe. And I want to add just a few other lies that Eugene Peterson didn't mention. Rescue me from the lies of those that tell me that the way to find freedom is to look within and express myself. Rescue me from the lies of those who tell me that we can pick and choose between what culture says and what God says. Rescue me from the lies of those who pretend that they're more enlightened than God, that they know better than God. Deliver me from lies. Friends, one of the reasons we look at God's word every week is because we need to discern what's truth, because lies kill. We need to open up God's word every week and believe that God knows best, that God has our good in mind, that if God says it, it's not repressive, it's not backwards, it's not dated. It's from holy God who loves us and refuses to tell us any lies. And so this is where we begin. We begin far from home in a world full of lies. And we pray to God, please deliver us from lies. Okay, so that's the first condition of the world that the psalmist points towards. We live in a world full of lies. Here's the second thing that he notices about the world. Not only do we live in a world full of lies, but in verses 5-7, he says, the world's also full of hostility. So read verses 5-7 again. He says, woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Too long I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when they speak, they are for war. And so he says, not only does he live among liars, but he lives among those who love war. And that's what we've seen over the past year. We see so much division, people tearing each other down, people fighting each other. It just seems like the world's becoming more and more divided. And he compares where he's living to a very distant land. He mentions two places, Meshech and Kedar. These places are a little bit difficult to locate. They're not even that close to each other, but they're both far from Jerusalem. They're far from the land of Israel and Judah, and they're among hostile people. The psalmist here is feeling dislocation and isolation. He's saying that he feels a little bit lost, that the world is not a friendly place, and they, in fact, want to destroy him. And he's had enough of living there. He loves peace, but he feels like he's living among people who love to fight and bicker and declare war against each other. Have you felt that? Have you gone online and just seen the bickering? Have you gone and read the comments section and just seen how we're tearing each other apart? Even among Christians, have you seen the way that we act towards each other? If there's a way to find offense, we look for that. We zero in on the one thing we disagree in, and we begin to label and criticize each other. That's what the psalmist is saying. We live in a world that is full of hostility, that just breeds hostility, that doesn't treat people the way that God wants us to treat them. We don't love even our friends the way that God wants us to, never mind our enemies. And this is it. You know, you get to the end of the psalm and you're like, where's the good part, right? Where's the part where we're supposed to feel better about life? Well, this is basically the beginning of the journey. And what the psalmist is telling us as we begin this journey is he's trying to help us locate ourselves so that we know where we're starting from. And he's saying, look, if you didn't realize it, I just want to draw a map and tell you where you live so that there's no mistakes about it. You live in a world full of lies and hostility. You don't live in Eden. You don't live in Jerusalem. If you don't feel at home here, you are seeing this world correctly. We're not supposed to be at home here. We're supposed to be bothered by all that's going on around us because we were made for something better. We were made to long for home. One old preacher said, the starting place for our spiritual pilgrimage is seeing the world for what it is in order to turn from it. Let me say that again. It's so important for where we're beginning this series. The starting place for our spiritual pilgrimage is seeing the world for what it is in order to turn from it. Or I love what C.S. Lewis wrote. If we had any foolish, unchristian hopes about human culture, they are now shattered. If we thought that we were building up a heaven on earth, if we looked for something that would turn the present world from a place of pilgrimage into a permanent city satisfying the soul of man, we are disillusioned and not a moment too soon. And so I said at the earliest, earlier on in the message, if you're feeling a little bit not at home, the psalmist is telling us, good for you. You are on the right track because this is not home. We should all be very uncomfortable in this broken world. And I'm not denying, by the way, the blessings God has given us, all the good things. God is amazing. We have far much more than we deserve. But no matter how good this world gets, it's a broken world, and it is not our home. And that's why we need songs to bring us home. That's why we're doing this series, because we clearly need, as pilgrims, to be reminded that we're going someplace else. And these psalms are going to help us make our way home as we go through the brokenness of this world. And if we're going to be good pilgrims along the way, it begins with being honest about ourselves and where we're starting on the journey. I'm going to close in a few minutes. I just want to tell you, as I was wrestling through this passage, I was just thinking, man, what a downer, right? Like what a psalm. I mean, I appreciate the message of the psalm because it really helps me deal with things like the residential school situation, the racism, the political division. You know, I also felt a little bit uncomfortable with the psalm because I kept looking for the good part, right? I kept looking for the hope in the psalm. And I remembered what Walter Brueggemann taught in his classic book, The Message of the Psalms. Walter Brueggemann, a famous theologian, he says, actually, there's three kinds of psalms. Psalms of orientation, psalms of disorientation, and psalms of new orientation. And what he's saying is there's three kinds of psalms. You know, there's psalms where we are. There's psalms that kind of shake us and disorient us. And then there's psalms that help relocate us in a new reality. This is a psalm of disorientation. And so this psalm is meant to grab us and disturb us and actually remind us of a truth that we'd rather ignore, that we're not home. This psalm is meant to wake us up from our comfort and to point out and remind us that we are not meant to be at home here. We were meant to long for more. And so we need to pray every day, Lord, deliver us from the deceivers. Deliver us from lies. We need to cry out every day with tears about the wrongs that we see in this world. And like a little kid at camp who can't wait to go home, we need to have the odd cry. And we need to say, man, I can't wait to be home. I think we're meant to pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should not entirely feel comfortable in a world that tries to live without God. Among all that's wrong with this world, we were meant to long for home. You know, there is one piece of good news in all of this. Where is the hope in this psalm? Well, the hope is not that we get to escape this world anytime soon. That time will come when finally we'll be free from, and we will be home. That'll be a really good day. But here's, I think, the really good news of this psalm. The good news is that we don't get to escape this broken world right away. The really good news is, out of love for you, Jesus entered this broken world. Rather than lift us out of it right now, Jesus actually entered, out of love, this broken world for your sake. He left his home in heaven to come to earth and to take his place alongside us in the mess, far from his home, so that he could fix everything that's wrong with this world. He was the victim of lies. He had lies told about him. He also suffered violence and evil, hostility of the world, so that he could save us. He came to conquer sin and evil out of love for you and me. If there's any good news in this world of brokenness, in this world of lies, it's that Jesus has become one of us so that he could rescue us from the lies and the hostility. And one day he will return and fully establish his kingdom. And one day the evil of the world will reach its end, and we will reach the end of our pilgrimage through this broken world and be fully and safely home. I love the Andrew Peterson song, "Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that we could see it all made new? We do." Many ask this, "Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. It is good that we remind ourselves of this." And so, Lord, we live in a broken world. We long for home. And if a lot of us are feeling dislocated these days, that's a very good thing. We're not meant to be at home here. Lord, we're not meant to open the news and hear of 215 lives that were taken the way that they were. And there's many more. Lord, we were not meant to open our newspaper and see the wars and the division and the discord going on around us. Lord, we're not meant for our hearts to break, because this world is not the way that you meant it to be. And more personally, we were not meant to suffer the alienation that we have in our relationships. Lord, we were not meant for the lies to be told against us, causing some of us a great harm that we've been living with for years. Lord, we were not meant to suffer the hostility of this world and the way it is. We long for more. And so, Lord, we cry out to you, deliver us from lies. Lord, we cry out to you today, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we cry out in the words of Revelation, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, make this world right again." Lord, as we begin this pilgrimage, disorient us in the best way possible in this world. And I pray that all of us would long for home. Pray if anyone has not put their trust in Jesus, if anyone has not put their trust in the one who entered this world so that he could join us, that he could face lies and hostility to begin to undo the curse of sin. I pray that even right now they would throw themselves on Jesus, the one who extends his love to everyone and who promises to make this world new. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.